The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to From the Median, a daily report from the front line of the pro-life movement, discussing two worldviews that are driving our culture in opposite directions. From the Median asks, which side of the road are you on? What direction do you want our culture to go? Tune in as we plan the route that takes us back to the culture of life. And now your host, Molly Smith.
Welcome back. I am Molly Smith, your host. I want to remind you all that our program is available for download. You can do so by going to our website, fromthemedian.org. Listeners, as always, wonderful to have you with us. And our guest today is John Horvath II. And he is, and I'm going to tell you that this probably is one of my most go-to person who, if I'm looking for what's going on in our culture, how can we fix it? John Horvath II is a scholar. He's a researcher. He's an educator. He's an international speaker. He's the author of the book Return to Order. And I tell you this every time John comes on the program, that I read this book probably nearly, I don't know how long ago it was that you wrote it, John, but it was a while back. And once I read it, I ordered a copy for every single one of my adult children and sent it to them and said, you have to read this book. It's a phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal book. So thank you so much for doing that. But since then, you have a website called Return to Order. You do a lot of research. You have got an in-depth knowledge of society looking through the lenses of what Christ has left for us. And, you know, the salvation of all of us, if we can only accept and understand God's message to us and the fact that we are made in his image and likeness. So thank you, John, for all you do. Welcome to the program.
Great to be on the show. It's always a pleasure.
You know, you wrote recently, and I, you and I talked just before you came on. I was looking at the world and thinking, oh my gosh, you know, where do we start? What do we do here? And I, you know, like to encourage good guests to come on the program. And one of the things that has really been disturbing me, John, is what is happening, starting off with our schools. You know, where are we going with our schools? What are we doing, not only from kindergarten through, but all the way through college, all the way out the other side, and now even into the workforce? We've got this sort of almost, you know, bad boy attitude. It's sort of, it's not even childish. It's an attitude that has decided that we may not speak up. We must continue to all think alike. We may not challenge. We may not have any critical thinking thoughts in our heads. And how best does whoever's controlling this evil, and where do they go? And we know who's controlling it. It's Satan. But to keeping humanity childlike, not childlike in the way that God speaks about it, but somebody who doesn't think for themselves, who just accepts whatever's coming. I came across a very, very interesting article that actually you had published way back in 2017. It's called Perpetual Adolescence: When Coming of Age Doesn't Come. Wow. Tell us about, you know, about that whole article, and how did you get to, you know, you've got a lot of research in there. And folks, just so that you know, I will have these articles that we talk about, I will have them up on my website, but you can also go to John's website, which is returntoorder.org. But this particular one, is all about the fact that these adults are still children.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a desire not to grow up, and I think it has a lot of factors that enter into the, you know, why children aren't growing up. I'd like to qualify that by saying that there are some children who do grow up and who are the fortunate children of very good parents, but there are a lot that are just simply not taking on responsibilities. And I would give three things right off that would be reasons for this happening. One, I would think would be softer parenting. you know, where parents do not discipline their children and do not say no. And as a result, they grow up, you know, where they don't, where it is, life becomes a tantrum where, you know, they just simply don't want to accept responsibilities and duties. And I think a second one would be the cell phone entrance into the lives of children, because it introduces a superficiality and a constant, you know, everything's stimulation, and which very much favors the childish behavior, because children are distracted. They don't have that facility to think profoundly, and this certainly doesn't help matters a lot. I mean, you read it all over the place that it is making them very passive in a certain sense, and even less, you know, in some cases, less active, sexually active, and things like that that have good consequences, but at the same time, very socially deficient, not able to carry on and to take on adult responsibilities. And a third one, I would say, rites of passage, you know, that children don't have those rites of passage that are significant events in their lives where they come to a point where they say, well, now I'm an adult, you know, mm-hmm. now I've cooked a meal, I've done something, I've gone on a trip, I've done something that I accomplished it on my own, and I'm very proud of that, and it marks my life forever. So they don't have those kind of things anymore. It's too risky. They just don't want to do it. They don't want to drive. They don't want to do all sorts of things. So these are the kind of things are obstacles that I think are causing children not to grow up.
You know, one of the things you say in your book and in your article is 1 in 3 of those between the ages of 18 and 14 live with their parents. Some 30% of all college students drop out after their first year. A recent test of college seniors found that 1/3 could not make a cohesive argument, think critically, or evaluate the quality of data. That is dangerous.
Yes, yes, yes. And largely because of education, you know, the modern education system, Dewey-based education system, that doesn't teach critical thinking or thinking outside the box or putting students in situations where acts have consequences and even sometimes very serious consequences, you know, those, and that is formative.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I remember just a case where some cities have banned sledding because it's so dangerous, and you know that's where you learn to calculate your dangers and in a relatively safe ambience.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And you get into fights, and you get into snowball fights, and all those kind of things are very extremely formative. But they're even bulldozing down hills because they don't want those children to risk, but there are plenty of risks on the cell phone that are much, much worse.
Absolutely. You know, and the cell phone issue is a very, very serious and very dangerous one, because we have no clue what these children, and they are so much better at it than we are too. I think parents are actually intimidated because they don't know their children.
Yeah, and they know how to sidestep a lot of these filtering systems.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly right.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, exactly. You know, one of the things that I see that you had was that they're not young people growing up, and even adults are not being challenged on important spiritual matters. They pretty well have become not even agnostic, but atheistic. I mean, there's nothing there. Is absolute. I remember being so shocked, probably a good 25, 30 years ago, visiting some relatives, and their little girl. I mean, this particular relative was younger than I, but her children were. She had growing children, and I think the oldest one was about 10 or 11. Mm. Had no clue who God was. Didn't know what Jesus was. Didn't have any clue about anything. Any Buddha, right, any absolutely. Anything, nothing. So it was just a void. That's dangerous. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because I mean, life without God is order society. He created a society and an order in society. And once you get away from that, anything can happen and is happening. That's the scary thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things that I think you also touch on, and I want to go through some of the other articles that you wrote, and folks, I'm going to put them all up there, as I said, on our website, fromthemedian.org, or you can go to John Horvat, at least not John Horvat. You can go to his returntoorder.org. They're also all up there. But one of the things that we talked about was what's happening in the schools, in the fact that they are increasingly lowering and lowering and lowering. I had the standard and the test scores and the way they test, and they're taking away any kind of ability to really to know whether or not these students are thinking through the answers. They're just giving them multiple choices. They're doing all that kind of stuff. And I just very recently had a parent come to me and tell me that her daughter was going to graduate, but didn't have enough credits or whatever it was that she should have had. So they went to speak to the counselor, and the counselor said, "Oh, don't worry about it. Let me see what else you've done. Okay, you can get a score for that one, and you can get a score for that one, and then you can score for that one. Okay, you've graduated. Out you go." It's like, what? So, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. There is a failure within the education system that's happened too.
Yes. And, you know, well, the whole idea of education is to facilitate the transition of a child to adulthood. You know, that it's not to just to carry it on or to delay it or to keep it for as long as you can. The child is the father of the man. It's the person who's the person that's going to develop. And I think that's where we're really not looking at it right. You know, it's trying to prolong it
and take away the hard knocks.
It goes long time.
Yeah, exactly. Away the hard knocks. And you've got a lovely thing in here, which I just loved. It was about the fact that we're no longer oriented towards the good, the true, and the beautiful, but rather to relativism. And it's expressed by one of the Notre Dame professors. He says, "The kingdom of whatever." That's so true. How many times do we hear our young people go, "Whatever, whatever"?
Yes, and I like this phrase, this turn of phrase. It said we went from the consideration of forever to the kingdom of whatever.
Yeah.
Because we used to think in terms of eternity, and now we're only thinking of, well, whatever is there, whatever is out there.
Exactly, exactly. You know, the interesting thing that I want to move on to one of your other articles, which is the toy market. And again, folks, this John wrote these articles a while back. It has become worse, not better. It's become worse since he wrote them. I think the toy market one, I don't know when it was written because I couldn't find the date.
It was just last month. Yeah.
So that's probably why I pulled up all the others, because it was very, it was disturbing. I have to tell you, it was like, oh my goodness. So tell people about this. There's a new word even that's come out for describing these adults who refuse to grow up.
Right, there's a new marketing demographic called kidults, which is kid and adult, and so the firms that are involved in this is the toy market, and the toy market, of course, usually is targeted toward children, but now 14% of the toy market is for that translates into something like $5.3 billion. And there are different companies. Legos has a whole adult a section of its products, which I hear are pretty complex. But nonetheless, I mean, it does participate in this kind of childish behavior. But also stuffed animals, dolls, action figures. McDonald's with their new something meals, free meals, or happy meals with action figures for adults.
Yeah.
So you know, it is a big sector of the toy market, and adults are the ones that they are growing down, not growing up.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. So this is actually, you know, one of the things that I thought about. I had a recent experience. I was out shopping with one of my granddaughters, and there was a group of young women, ahead of us, and they were in the, one of the stores, and these were young women, and they were probably, I don't know, 18, 19, probably college students, and they were talking about all the stuffies that they put in. They've got nests in their rooms with stuffies in them. I'm looking at these girls and thinking, oh my goodness. So you're absolutely, I mean, this was before I read your article, and immediately this thought came to my head. This was what these young girls were talking about. And, you know, by the time you're that age, you should be entering into adulthood. You should be entering into making decisions for your future, not making nests in your bedroom for stuffies. I mean, really and truly, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Right. And I got into some criticism of that because there, you know, there are hobbies that adults can participate in. I don't have anything against that, you know, building things and models and things that usually are somewhat complex. But, you know, this is something that this particular kidult market is childish, and it recognizes that. So you have to. And so we need to criticize that because adults need to be adults, and they can't deny their identity. They can't identify as children, you know, self-identify as children.
Well, I can tell you right now, John, that when my children, who are now all adult, all married, all have their own children, and I would say that the last one, oh my gosh, probably left the house 20 years ago. But once they had left the home and they were out fending for themselves, they did not have time to build Lego sets. It didn't matter how complicated the Lego set was. They were scrambling and running as fast as they could to make it in the world, to be successful in the career that they had chosen. There was no time to build a complicated Lego motor car or whatever it might be. Now, it doesn't
mean to. That's a good point. Yeah. If you don't have children, yes, you're not doing, you have time, but when you have children and you have families and do what adults need to do,
Exactly. So the final one that I saw here, and I have to try and pull it up here because it was why college children, and this one you wrote a while back too, it was why college students are using coloring in books. And they've even got the administration and the staff giving them coloring in rooms. Oh my goodness, John. Oh my goodness. This is crazy.
Yeah, I did a book signing once for Return to Order, and you know, and they said, well, you just go over there next to the coloring book row. They have a whole row of coloring books, and I said, well, my gosh, this is for children. No, these are for adults. So it is a big market. I mean, very big market. You know, and they may be a little more complex, but they still are coloring books, and you know. All the excuses are, well, you know, it relieves stress, it does this, it does that, but at the same time, that's not an adult activity. I can't really get into my mind, you know, this is happening, you know.
Exactly.
And it's happening among college students, you know, they recognize it as, you know, this is a stress reliever, it's something this, it's something that, but they should be studying. That's what they're there for, not coloring books are for kindergartners.
Yeah. Well, you know, and you're right. I mean, I happen to be one of those people. I used to love coloring in books. I loved them. I loved sitting with my children and coloring in books. I loved number books. I loved all those kinds of things. But really, you know, once I was out on my own trying to make my own living and having to pay for the rent of my apartment, there was, again, I will say to most of you out there that might be criticizing, there was no ways I had the time for that. You know, once I had my children and I could sit with them and was part of caring for them and teaching them, that was wonderful. That was okay. But, you know, I think
and you were participating somewhat in their toys as well to help them in their toys.
Exactly.
But they were not for you.
Exactly right.
They were not for you.
I mean, when you have the administrative and the staff of a university encouraging them to go there. One of the other things, and I can't find it now with all the articles that I've got printed up here, but one of the ones that I loved was the fact that you mentioned the fact that we need to go back to teaching our children the value of critical thinking. You know, critical thinking is so important. That's why I love schools like the Lyceum, Padre Pio, Westside Christian Academy. These are all schools in our area, but every single school has one. And there's just a new one that's just opened. I think it's the Acton Academy. It's also all about critical thinking. The other thing, you know, I think you touch on this, but you also talk about the fact that we should be, the idea of putting children into classes, you know, all the 10-year-olds go together, all the 11-year-olds go together, you know, 10 and 11 together. And then, but there's no interaction really between everybody, which is what a society is supposed to be. Talk about that a little bit. Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's the modern thing is to separate children into toddlers, children, adolescents, teenagers, which were not distinctions that were there before. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much a modern way of looking at things. But there was a lot of interaction between generations, and which was always beneficial. And even interaction among social classes, I mean, in times past, and we have segregated everything into just zones and zoning and this and that. And so that children are only supposed to get together with their friends and not to get together with others that will help them and to push them ahead. So yeah, there is a need for this all these kind of relationships that are part of a real society. And we've lost that. And I think a lot of it is due to education and, of course, the cell phone.
You know, and it's interesting, you know, I say to people all the time, in a situation that is really bad, there's always something good. If you just look for it, you'll see that the good is also there. God never abandons us. And I honestly think, John, that the COVID pandemic, revealed a lot of the faults and the problems within our society, certainly within our Western society. You know, because our library was shut down, and it's one of the things that you mention in your articles, because our library was shut down, I went out and purchased a whole bunch of books that I knew I had absolutely loved as a child. Very well written, very easy to read, teaching them different about a different era. And I bought these whole series of different kinds of books, and I had a little lending library in my sunroom in my house, and the kids called it, my grandchildren could come over and borrow a book, and they'd read it and come back and borrow another book, and you know, and but you talk about this, and you say we need to start building our own libraries of good books. I thought that was wonderful.
Yes, definitely. We certainly can't trust the libraries or the schools anymore, because they're so many bad things and pornographic things and just horrible things are entering into there.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Absolutely. What do you see going forward? How do you see all of this, you know, being able to, how do we navigate it, John?
Well, I think, that's a very good question. I think there are those who see the problem and are doing very good work, like the schools you mentioned that definitely taking advantage of what we know about raising children and what the church has taught and what our traditional society has taught. And those are the ones that are succeeding. Those are the households that have, that aren't broken and that have successful marriages and families. This is definitely, I think, one of the ways that it's up to each of us to carry this on. And I think there's a lot of resources out there that are helping people, and a lot of grandmothers that with sunrooms with libraries that can help out a lot.
That's so funny. It's just so true. The other funny thing that I we lived up in the frozen north, way up in the top of Canada in Labrador City, for many years whilst all my children were growing, actually. I used to subscribe to all kinds of books, and these books would come, and there was one called The Value Tales, and it was such a beautiful, then they'd come in these nice bound books and big beautiful pictures, and so the kids all read them with me, we read them together, and there was always these discussions about these incredible people, you know, heroes of the past, etc. But the interesting thing was that we bought them all the way down to Canada, from Canada to America with us to the United States, and then I read them to my youngest child, who was very young at the time when we moved here, and then I got to the point where they all moved out, and I had to get rid of all they're all stuck in my crawl space in my basement. So I had the kids all come over and choose which ones they wanted. And it was interesting to see which ones had impacted them because they took them. But my one daughter took these value tales and started reading it to her daughter, and she called them the glass books. I said, why is she calling them the glass books? Well, she's decided they're very old. They're like glass. They'll break if she doesn't treat them properly. I was just like, oh my gosh, this is so wonderful. But they really were glass books because they're out of print now, you know? So,
yes.
I loved it. But John, go ahead.
That's definitely part of that has to be part of the program. It can't be just some kind of abstract thing. It has to be very, I've always, wherever there are relationships that need, I think that is so very, very important that is so often not considered.
Absolutely. Well, John, you know what? I'm going to get you back on very soon because I really want to do a rerun of Return to Order, because I think right now, as much as it was very impactful for me way back, right after you published it, I think in today's climate, we need to return to order, and your book is phenomenal. So I will get Ildi to make sure she books you back on again, and you're going to come back on and talk about Return to Order, and we're going to start promoting that book, which is phenomenal as well. So thank you, John.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. God bless you. Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye-bye.
God bless.
Thank you all for joining me this evening. As I say goodnight and God bless each and every one of you, I'd like to close with the words of the Holocaust survivor Elie Wiesel. There may be times when we are powerless to prevent injustice, but there must never be a time when we fail to protest.
From the Median is listener supported. Visit our website, fromthemedian.org, for further information or to make a donation to continue to make this radio program possible. Email us, radionews@fromthemedian.org, or call 440-668-4049. Through our fromthemedian.org website, you can download this or previous programs for your listening pleasure, or sign up to receive our weekly preview of upcoming guest interviews. Tune in every weeknight at the same time to listen to another great interview on From the Median as we plan the route that takes us back to the culture of life.
Paying too much for healthcare and supporting services you don't believe in? Our sponsor, Solidarity HealthShare, has prices that are 60% less than the nation's average cost of healthcare. Join the nation's leading healthcare sharing ministry, built by people of faith for people of faith, saving money through ethical and affordable healthcare. Call now to see how much you can save. 866-977-5821. That's 866-977-5821.
This program has been sponsored by Cleveland Right to Life and is responsible for its content.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.